All God's people said, amen. Amen. We are one church on four different campuses, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, and Porter Ranch. And whatever campus you're on, would you please thank all those who led worship today, if you would do that. And I want you to thank all those who put up all the Christmas decorations, if you can do that as well. How many of you had a blessed Thanksgiving? You were just blessed of God. How many of you will just admit right now you ate too much? You ate too much. And that's why you came to church, because of that guilt, because you just ate too much. No. Nothing better than pumpkin pie with some whipped cream, amen? And I do want to remind you that next weekend, December 2nd at 5 o'clock on the Porter Ranch campus, we are going to light up the Christmas tree. And that thing, I don't know how tall that thing is, 50, 60 feet. It's too tall. I can't get up there. But you will be here, and we count down, we read the Christmas story. And last year was the first year we did this, and it was one of the greatest nights of the year. So plan on being here for the Christmas tree lighting. Amen and amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible. We are winding down this year, and our theme this year, if you're a guest, has been the certainty of eternity. And we have seen that play out over and over and over throughout the course of this year. Last month, we had a series called One Month to Live. This series, the month of November, we've done a series called The Harvest is Plentiful. And we are putting our money where our mouth is, and that we are taking up a Thanksgiving offering, and that offering goes towards those who have yet to believe in Jesus Christ. We're supporting Bible colleges and missions and missionaries around the world, church planting in Turkey and Japan and Thousand Oaks. We're trying to reach in a tangible way the top 30 cities in the world. And also our ministry here at our church, which is called Lift Up Jesus. Everybody raise your hands like this and say, Lift Up Jesus, which I will be talking about later on. We support that ministry. We're going to do something a little different this weekend because it's Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to read some scriptures. We're going to answer a few questions. And I've got several videos that I want to show you if we have time. The first scripture is verse 13, Romans 10, verse 13. Now, you should all know this verse. It says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Now look at that verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How many of you, raise your hand if you believe that's true. I want you to point to heaven and say that's true. Just say that's true. That everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if you're here today or you're watching or listening and you're not saved, according to the scriptures, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, in verse 14 and 15, right after he says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, you all just said you agree with that. Well, Paul then begins to ask some rhetorical questions. Now, a rhetorical question is really not a question. It's a question that has an obvious answer. It's a rhetorical question is not really a question. A rhetorical question is actually a statement. And he just kind of asked it in a silly way because you're supposed to know the answer. He's making a statement. That's what he asked, I think, four rhetorical questions in a row. Right after he says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, which you've already agreed to that you believe that. So in your outline, look at these several of these rhetorical questions. Question one, this is verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And the answer is, you should know it, they can't. I want you to write that down. They can't. They can't. That's the point of them asking that question. Second question, the 14b. How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? The answer is what? They can't. These are obvious answers to these questions. And the third question at the end of verse 14, this is rapid fire rhetorical questions. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And the answer is they can't. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they hear without someone actually preaching to them? God in heaven places a high priority on preaching. Not just good preaching, all preaching. Bad preaching and good preaching, just preaching. There's a high priority because the word of God never returns void. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21 that God was pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. The point is that anyone can be saved if they believe, but they can't believe unless they've heard the gospel, and they can't hear the gospel unless someone preaches to them or teaches them. Last week, if you were here, we learned that God will always raise up a watchman. He will always raise up a preacher. He will always raise up an evangelist, someone who will stand in the gap on behalf of those who are not saved. Why? Because it matters to God. Because God loves all people. Because God wants all people to be saved. And God wants all people to turn to Him. The Bible says that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Paul wept over people who didn't know God. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And I think that you and I should weep. We should be moved by those who've never heard the gospel. That's what this month is all about. A key verse for me in the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, is 1 Corinthians 9:22, when he said these words, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." That should be our attitude. He was willing to do anything, to give anything, to be anything in order to save people. I've always wondered if Paul lived in today's world with today's technology, would Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, would he be involved in social media? Would the Apostle Paul today, would he have a Facebook account? Would he have a Twitter account? Would he have an Instagram account? And in my humble opinion, I believe he would do anything that he could possibly do. If he thought he could reach people with Jesus, for Jesus, he'd be on Facebook. If he thought that he could use that Twitter account to lead people to Jesus, he would do it. If he thought he could help people find Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he would have an Instagram account. But he would be using those vehicles to promote Jesus Christ. I'm convinced 100% if he lived today, yes, he would use social media. I believe that he would be on the radio. I just do. I believe that he would be on television and he would be there talking about Jesus. I want you to know a couple of things. We have our services are online on the internet. And we have people right now. I know we have people on all four campuses, but we have people watching what you're watching all over the world. This afternoon, I asked our IT guy if he could give me a list of the people, the nations, of the list of nations of people this week, last weekend while I was preaching, the people that were watching, where were they from? And I have the list right here. I know you're just sitting here and you're watching where you, the campus you attend. But while I'm preaching right now, we're capturing this on video and we send it on the internet all over the world. And last weekend, people watched all over the United States, in Canada, France, India, China, South Korea, the Philippines, Brazil, Australia, Germany, Venezuela, Nigeria, Russia, Japan, Mexico, Italy, Kenya, Peru, Sudan, Spain, Netherlands, Ireland, Hong Kong, Pakistan, South Africa, Sweden, Ukraine, Poland, El Salvador, Indonesia, Uganda, Austria, Malaysia, Romania, Singapore, Thailand, Armenia, Bangladesh, Belgium, Switzerland, Colombia, Dominican Republic, Ghana, Guatemala, Niger, New Zealand, Turkey, Argentina, Denmark, Hungary, Israel, Jamaica, Liberia, Burma, the Trinidad, Taiwan, Vietnam, Bolivia, Portugal, Chile, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Egypt, Croatia, Norway, Slovakia, Zambia, Bulgaria, Belarus, Cyprus, Algeria, Ethiopia, Greece, Guam, Haiti, Iraq, Jordan, Cambodia, Kuwait, the Cayman Islands, Lebanon, Morocco, Moldova, Puerto Rico, Saudi Arabia, United Kingdom, U.S. Virgin Islands, Zimbabwe, United Arab Emirates, Congo, and Simi Valley. (Laughter) And you thought it was just you and me. Is that amazing through technology that the messages preached from Shepherd go all around the world? Inside your bulletin, there's an insert on our television and radio ministry called Lift Up Jesus. This is my opinion. We have the best name for any media ministry in the entire United States of America. Because we exist for one reason, to lift up Jesus. And on one side of that insert tells you where we already can be seen, where people follow. Potentially 100 million viewers on television and 135 million potential viewers on radio. On the other side of that insert are areas that we would like to move into. And part of the Thanksgiving offering, I just want you to know, is going to go towards reaching areas that we are yet to connect with. And so I hope that makes sense to you. It takes a lot of time and a lot of work, but it is worth it to preach the gospel around the entire world. Every year they have what's called the National Religious Broadcasting Convention. It's usually held in Nashville, Tennessee, where all the Christian radio and Christian television people that are involved in networks and programming from around the world have a convention. This year, this next year, will be the first year that they're moving it to Los Angeles. It's going to be in March of next year. And the reason they're coming here is they want to kind of go head-to-head with Hollywood. They want Hollywood to know that, hey, there's a Christian network, a convention being held of believers from all over the world that are coming. And so what our media team did, we put together a little video that explains Lift Up Jesus. And in all of the hotels, this was last year in Nashville, they have what's called a hotel TV channel. So as you're flipping channels in the hotel television, you always go through the hotel channel, and they're always advertising stuff on there. And we put the video that you're about to see on all of the hotel channels. So when the NRB, the National Convention, met in Nashville, and they were, you know, these are people who can put you on major radio and major television channels around the world, they were all introduced to Shepherd Church. I want you to watch this video that our media team put together.
Hi, my name is Dudley Rutherford, and I'm the senior pastor of Shepherd Church out there in Southern California. I want to thank all of you who are here at the NRB. I wanted to let you know a little bit about our ministry called Lift Up Jesus. There are a lot of television ministry, radio ministries. I know I'm a little prejudiced, but I believe we have the best name going because we exist for the purpose of simply lifting up Jesus, knowing that He will draw all people unto Himself. Years ago, we were on one little television channel here in Southern California. I always felt like I wanted someone who watched the program to be able to get in their car and just drive to the church. Never really had a dream for it to be nationwide or anything like that. Until one day, I was in a restaurant. I went way back in the very far back booth. I had a hat on. I was trying to eat breakfast incognito. And in the middle of my meal, a guy tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, and there was this guy covered in tattoos, kind of looked like a gangbanger guy. And he said, "Pastor, I'm sorry to bother you in your breakfast, but I want to tell you my story." And he begins to explain how he was a professional bank robber. He robbed banks, he robbed grocery stores, he robbed gas stations. And one day in one of those robberies, the robbery went south and his partner in crime was shot and killed. And it so bothered him that he decided that he was going to take his own life himself. And before he took his life, he went back to his house to say goodbye to his mother, who was a godly woman. And when he walked into that house, he tells the story that she looked into his eyes and said, "What's wrong? Why are you here?" And he said, "Nothing, Mom. I just want to tell you hello, see how you're doing, where in reality he was going to say goodbye and go take his own life. He said that she looked right through his eyes and said, you need the Lord, and you need to start watching Pastor Dudley on Lift Up Jesus. And he said he started to do that, and he said many times over the last several years, he said, Pastor, your ministry has saved my life because I've been so discouraged by my past and so discouraged by the sin in my life that I just wanted to end it all. But today, praise God, he now is a solid believer in Jesus Christ and ministers to people all over Los Angeles with his testimony. And from that story, God impressed upon my heart, Dudley, if your television ministry will reach someone like that, you need to get your program in as many homes as you possibly can. We're on Sirius XM radio nationwide. We're on DirecTV nationwide. We're on a radio station over in the Philippines. Of course, we're here locally in Los Angeles. If you'd like to learn or have more information about our ministry or me personally, just get a hold of us, contact us, number on the screen. We'd love to hear from you. And don't forget, as I always tell my listeners at the end of every program, whatever you're doing and wherever you're going, don't forget to always lift up Jesus.
Join us every week for another life-changing message from Pastor Dudley. You can visit us anytime on our website and discover the many resources available there to help you with your daily Christian walk. And while you're there, please consider partnering with us to help support this ministry. Pastor Dudley has a burden to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can only do that with your financial help. You can also connect daily with Pastor Dudley through many forms of social media. We thank you for being a part of this ministry and invite you to join us again next week at the same time. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, don't forget to always lift up Jesus.
All right. I want you to thank all the people that work here in the media department at the church. If you would do that just for me, give them a little bit of love. I want you to go back to your outline. How can they call on the one whom they've not believed? The answer is they can't. How can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? The answer is they can't. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? The answer is they can't. How many of you agree with all that? Okay, number four, how can they preach unless they are what? I want you to circle the word sent. This is in the Bible. How can they preach unless they are sent? And the answer is the same. The answer is they can't. Someone has to send them. And I tell you this from time to time, but just in case you're new, we take 10% of all of our offerings. We don't care what the offering is. We take 10% of that and we tithe that money to help people all around the globe to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We take up offerings like this Thanksgiving offering, again, to support missions and missionaries and church planters and Bible colleges and media ministries that reach all around the globe. I was going to show you. Can I show you another video real quick? There was a guy that was supposed to preach this weekend. I met him at a gathering, and he talked, and it was so compelling. I said, I need you to preach. And he was not able to come, so I sat down and recorded a little interview with him. And I want you to see this next. Through this offering, we're supporting this ministry, all right? So just listen and know that Shepherd Church is a part of this ministry. I want you to watch this video.
I'm honored here today to introduce to you a friend that I recently have made acquaintance with, a man by the name of Ed Cannon, who we met about 6 weeks ago at Mark Burnett's house in down there in Malibu. And Ed works for the Far East Broadcasting Company. And Ed, would you please share with our church family a little bit about your ministry and exactly what is the Far East Broadcasting Company?
Sure. We're a 75-year-old ministry, primarily in radio and media now. We broadcast in almost 120 languages in almost 50 countries, but we only broadcast one message, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the message of hope, that the world needs.
And tell our church how this ministry got started and how it works.
Yeah, one of our founders was a radio communication specialist in the Second World War, and he realized that the power radio played in defeating a common enemy during that war. And when the war ended, the U.S. government asked him to just tear down all the equipment that he had built in the South Pacific and throw it away in the ocean. And he asked if he could keep some of that equipment, and they said, what on earth are you going to use this for? And he said, I'd like to broadcast the gospel into China. So we started by setting up that equipment in 1946 and broadcasting into China, and people started hearing, people started responding, and over the course of the next 25 or 30 years, other countries heard about it. So we started in Korea, and then in Japan, then in Indonesia, and all throughout Southeast Asia, into India, and then up into Russia and Pakistan, and several of the Stan countries, because organizations realized that in the absence of having a strong church like this one, radio was a great substitute to get the gospel into the least reached people's lives and into the hardest to reach places.
And are you in North Korea as well?
We're broadcasting into North Korea. Yes, we are. And we're hearing responses from refugees who escaped from the country who have been listening to our radio in North Korea.
So this gentleman starts this company.
Yeah.
He takes former satellite equipment or antennas from
radio transmitters, antennas
that we were using for the United States government.
That's right.
And today, or it's up to recently, it's been used to preach the gospel into these countries.
That's right.
And tell us a little bit about persecution-wise, what's going on in that part of the world. And
well,
why? Because
yeah.
I think that makes it even more important for people to understand.
Sure. The reason we started was because there was intense persecution in places like China right after the Second World War. Few people understand the Communist Revolution, and missionaries were kicked out. Millions of Christians were killed at that time. And there was an absolute absence of a presence of church or even hard copies of the Bible. That has continued over the years in every country where we're working.
Even today.
I will say in the last 5 years or so, it's gotten more intense. In China, there's an extreme push toward the elimination of the house church, limits on the regulated church. It is against the law now to take 18-year-olds and under to any kind of a church anywhere in China. The government has proclaimed that saying Jesus Christ is the Savior is against the law because the Communist Party is the Savior.
And you told me a story about a pastor that was, when he was a young man, he couldn't talk to his family. You remember that story?
Sure. Yeah, it's a pastor who realized that when his children are very young and maybe not streetwise, if they communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to their kids, they may go to school and the party might say to them, isn't it wonderful that your parents worship Jesus? And the kids would say, yes, isn't it great? And then the parents would get arrested. So you have to wait until children are of a certain age so they can be equipped to manage those kind of conversations. Well, he hadn't had that conversation with his two young sons yet, and he got arrested for preaching the gospel. He got put in jail. Number of years later, he came out. He realized his wife also had gotten arrested, and the village that he was from, no one knew what happened to his children. Many, many years later, he's an elderly man. He's still broadcasting messages on our shortwave radio into China.
He's in his 80s, right?
Yes, he's well into his 80s. We should probably retire him, but no one has the heart to say you can't do this anymore because his message is, the only hope I've got that I have the ability to preach the gospel to my own children is that somehow, somewhere, they're listening on the radio and they'll hear their father's voice.
Mm. It's a powerful story. And I, you know, we have radio and television here at Shepherd Church, and I'm always trying to get people to realize that God is moving in circles that you're not even aware of, but
oh,
the
yes.
power of radio is able to go places where otherwise we could not go.
Oh, yes.
And it is the voice of God.
Yes.
To some degree, to people that otherwise would never have a chance to hear the gospel. You broadcast in close to 50 countries, mm-hmm. 117 languages, close to 3 billion people mm-hmm. have a chance. Tell us a little bit about the story that you told that night at Mark Burnett's house about just reading the Bible for 30 minutes a day, and
sure.
The guy didn't know if it was doing any good.
Yeah, when we first started the broadcasts back in the 40s, no one knew how to do radio. What do we do on radio? And so one of the pastors working on our staff said, I just want to read the Bible, because people in China don't have access to the Bible. So he would sit down and he'd read for 30 minutes from the Bible, and the next day he'd read the next verse.
But this is on the airways.
On the airways,
shortwave. Going
into China. We called the program The Voice of God. A number of years after he had started the broadcast, we had no idea if anyone was listening. You don't get feedback from a country where listening to the gospel is going to result in you being in jail. Plus, this is before the days of email and that sort of thing.
And is he reading in English?
No, he's reading in Mandarin, of course.
Okay.
And so, after about 3 years, a gentleman from inside of China made his way all the way to Hong Kong to visit him. And when he came to the studio, he said, I just want you to know that lots of people are listening to your broadcast. And we would like to know if you could read just a little bit slower, please.
Okay.
Well, he understood exactly what they meant. And so he hired an assistant who sat right next to him in the studio, and he would only read from the scripture as fast as this man could write in Mandarin characters, because he knew the man was wanting to write down what he was saying. He did this for 30 years, and then he passed away and moved on. And the Bible societies came into China in late in the 80s after the government had opened up. They wanted to bring missionaries back in and demonstrate that they were no longer oppressing human rights. And they did some research. The research that they were doing was geared toward finding out if smuggling Bibles into the country was a useful thing, because people spent lots of money and lots of effort getting Bibles into the country. But unfortunately, their research said, you know, after all these years of smuggling Bibles, we could only find a few hundred thousand copies in a country of billions. But interestingly, he said, we found at least twice as many copies of a handwritten Bible from a shortwave broadcast out of Manila, Philippines.
Hmm. That is a powerful story. And I want our church to, you know, to understand the power of media, the power of radio, the power of television. I'm not sure I even understand the true power of all that. Do you have a way to describe that, or how God works?
We met a man just recently in Vietnam. In Vietnam, they scramble shortwave signals, so it's a lot of effort for us to get the broadcast into Vietnam, but our staff are dedicated and they do it. And this man said to us, I said, is it worth it? Is it really worth it? And this man said to us, you see, we have no pastors and we have no Bible. We count on your broadcasts daily for the Word of God. They gather in small groups around little speakers, play the message off of a SIM card, because they are so hungry for God's Word. The exact quote that came out of that man from Vietnam I was telling you about, he said, we hunger for God's Word more than anything in this world. They're living in shacks. They have no retirement funds. They can't afford food for more than a few days at a time. They hunger for God's Word more than anything in this world.
I want you to share one of your favorite Bible verses in Isaiah 55. Again, I think I've tried to explain this to some of you before, but I've always wanted to be a missionary and go on the foreign mission field. But for some reason, God wanted me here in a local church, I think in an area with great resources. And I always felt God saying, Dudley, build the greatest church you can be a part of, raise as much money as you can, and use that money to support mission work all around the world. We still wonder, though, at times, is this worth it? When I give, when I support, those monies go to your ministry, which we're going to take up an offering. To help support this particular ministry. So from this church, we're going to be a part of reaching these close to 50 countries, 120 different language groups, close to 3 billion people in some way. How does God direct and do what He does? This verse in Isaiah 55.
Sure, I read this to you this morning in Isaiah 55, verse 11. God says to Isaiah, "So my word that goes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And our staff all around the world believe that that is the core mission of our organization. We broadcast His word in the native language spoken by the local people, by indigenous pastors, in the local accent, so that they know this is somebody from their community. We're networked with the local churches and the local body of believers because it is the church that's going to do God's work. In many cases, the radio is nothing but a net to bring people who would otherwise never visit the steps of a church, to bring them into a body of believers in God. So what you're doing here is extremely valuable. But you can't do in places like Cambodia and Indonesia and Pakistan and China what our staff are capable of doing. They know the culture, they know the local pastors, and we equip them with technology which allows them to get God's word into the hearts and the minds of those people so that it will accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. And we believe that's true.
Amen. And you get letters and emails from all over the world, right?
That's right.
And you get them all the time?
We get them all the time. Last year, we got 2.6 million letters from listeners. Most of the stories are heart-wrenching. All of the stories are encouraging because they recognize they have nothing in this world, but they don't care about things like that. I've got God now, and I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and my heart is filled with joy. 9 million text messages last year in China alone.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited, and it was just an honor again to meet you. I know you've been involved in the corporate world on a global scale. You worked at Moody Institute for 8.5 years. But the call of God upon your life to help lead this ministry, I hope that we as a church can partner with you. I want everyone, if you can, to put your hands together and let's thank Ed for his work and his ministry and our involvement in his church. Let's show our appreciation and love to him if we can right now. Ed, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Remember, he said that he got close to 3 million responses last year, and we're going to help this ministry, and as he does what he does, this Far East Broadcasting Ministry, it touches people who are individuals who are in another part of the world who are a million miles away from where you are today. But they still have needs, they still have hurts, they still go through difficult times. And I want to show you, and then we're going to close, but don't leave. Amen. I want to show you just one example of one person that Ed Cannon and his ministry that they reached through this ministry. Just one example. I want you to watch this video.
ຢັບក្នុងគូសាវាវាបាក់និយាយប្រាប់ទៅគឺខ្ញុំគឺយកវាមកនៅជាមួយខ្ញុំរស់នៅដូចរៀបដូចជាកប៉ោកដែតលើទឹករស់នៅមានឯងគ្មានកោះគ្មានត្រើយបាញ់យកវាមកចាំទេមនុស្សអីដែរ នឹងឈើកងព្រោះពាត់ខ្ញុំយកខ្លួនបៀតយកមកនៅជាមួយខ្ញុំក៏វានៅរហូតដល់វាបាត់ដីទេទៅវាបានវាទៅនៅវិញខ្ញុំឈ្មោះហែមលីតាព្រោះនៅភូមិជ្រៃឃុំស្វាយធំស្រុកសាត់បកគោខេត្តសៀមរាបនេះជាកូនខ្ញុំអាយុ13ឆ្នាំសាលាល្អ ដើម្បីឲ្យកូនខ្ញុំមានអនាគតទៅថ្ងៃមុខនេះជាពុកចិញ្ចឹមរបស់ខ្ញុំនូនេះជាម្ដាយចិញ្ចឹមរបស់ខ្ញុំប្រពន្ធឈ្មោះត្រាងផ្ទះចម្រុករបស់ខ្ញុំស្នាក់នៅរាល់ថ្ងៃកាលពីឆ្នាំ1997ខ្ញុំបាន
គាត់ចាញ់លបួងគេដែរតែគាត់ថាគាត់ជាស្រីមានម៉ាយគាត់ត្រូវបង្ខំឲ្យខ្ញុំយកប្តីគាត់ណាបង្ខំឲ្យខ្ញុំយកប្តីហើយពេលខ្ញុំមានកូនទៅបាបខ្ញុំគាត់បែរជាក្បត់ចិត្តខ្ញុំទៅយកប្តីខ្ញុំឲ្យខ្ញុំតំបៅទ្រូងតែម្នាក់ឯងហើយគាត់ដូចសម្លាប់ខ្ញុំទាំងរស់ដែលគាត់តែពេលអញ្ចឹងខ្ញុំលំបាកវេទនាខ្ញុំសុខចិត្តចាចោលម្ដាយខ្ញុំខ្ញុំដើរដូចកប៉ោកដែលលើទឹករហូតខ្ញុំដើរខោអាវតែមួយចង្កេះចែកដល់ច្មោះបានអរគុណអ្នកម៉ែខ្ញុំឈ្មោះម្ដាយត្រាងឪពុកឈ្មោះនូតែខ្ញុំពេលនោះខ្ញុំធ្លាក់ខ្លួនឈឺជំងឺបេះដូងរីកលុយសម្រាប់នឹងព្យាបាលជំងឺបបាក់ក្នុងចិត្តខ្ញុំខ្លាំងពេកខ្ញុំគិតថាខ្ញុំមិនចង់រស់ទៀតទេតែខ្ញុំដើរទៅផ្ទះគេខ្ញុំឮគេបើករ៉ាឌីយ៉ូគេសេរីប៉ោះរ៉ាឌីយ៉ូទៅប៉ះវិទ្យុគ្រួសារតែខ្ញុំស្ដាប់ស្ដាប់ទៅបានស្ដាប់បទប៉ះពាល់ចិត្តខ្ញុំមួយទៀតបទនំប៉័ងជីវិតខ្ញុំចង់ហូបនំប៉័ងជីវិតណាស់ឲ្យខ្ញុំមានជីវិតអស់កលអត់ស្លាប់ហូតស្អែកឡើងខ្ញុំសម្រេចចិត្តចាប់មេមន់ខ្ញុំមួយយកទៅលក់ដើម្បីយកលុយទិញរថយន្តស្ដាប់ខ្ញុំមកបានស្ដាប់បទចម្រៀងព្រះអង្គរហូតឈឺខ្លាំងពេកសម្រេចចិត្តទេចូលក្នុងវិជ្ជាគ្រួសារខ្ញុំមិនដឹងថាជឿព្រះយេស៊ូវនោះយ៉ាងម៉េចទេរហូតសម្រេចចិត្តអធិដ្ឋានតាមគាត់តែខ្ញុំបានពិនិត្យបេះដូងពិនិត្យអីបានដឹងហើយក្នុងមួយថ្ងៃខ្ញុំលេបឆ្នាំព្រះវិធីបាត់ទីក្នុងពេញទៅពេលខ្ញុំទៅដូចបំណងមែនទៅដល់មន្ទីរទៅដល់ព្រះវិធីនោះថ្ងៃអាទិត្យគេឲ្យនំប៉័ងម្នាក់មួយម្នាក់មួយខ្ញុំអរណាស់ពេលខ្ញុំបាននំប៉័ងហូបខ្ញុំថាខ្ញុំបាននំប៉័ងជីវិតហូបហើយខ្ញុំស្ដាប់ពីជួបគ្រូសាខ្ញុំរៀនបានច្រើនមួយទៀតខ្ញុំរៀនបានថាពីមុនមិនខ្ញុំកាចខ្ញុំឆេវឆាវខ្ញុំលឺអីពីនេះពីនោះមកអត់បានទេខ្ញុំខឹងគេឆេវឆាវច្រើនដល់ពេលខ្ញុំបានជឿលើពីជួបគ្រូសាបានលើកទឹកចិត្តខ្ញុំថាមិនអោយខ្ញុំគិតហើយពេលនោះក៏ក្នុងខ្លួនខ្ញុំនេះក៏មានថាអត់សូវធ្វើទុកដូចពីខ្ញុំនៅឆៅឆាវដែរដល់ពេលនេះព្រះអង្គក៏បានរំងាប់ចិត្តខ្ញុំបានច្រើនហើយពេលអញ្ចឹងខ្ញុំក៏អរគុណដល់ព្រះអង្គដែលបានសង្គ្រោះខ្ញុំមក
We are so blessed, amen. We are so blessed. I want you to look at verse 15 one more time as we prepare to close. And thank you for allowing me to show you these videos, to let you know more about our church and why we exist. And a verse that I've known a long time, but I never really saw what I'm getting ready to point out to you. Verse 15, it says this rhetorical question, how can they preach unless they are sent? Everybody say the word sent. And the answer is they can't. But then the rest of that verse says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring what? Good news. I don't know anyone that has good-looking feet. I know some of you think your feet are good looking, but your feet are not good looking. How many of you think your feet are somewhat ugly? Be honest, they're somewhat ugly. Yeah, mine are terrible. But the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Every one of you can have beautiful feet if you bring good news. But what that verse says to me, how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If you are preaching or you're the one sending, your feet are beautiful. If you're the one that's actually doing the talking, or you're the one that's providing for those missionaries and those church planners and the mission programs that we support. And so the last question is this, and this is my question. Do you have beautiful feet? That's the question. Are you preaching the good news, or are you helping sin people who are preaching the good news? That's my question. Now, I know you think the answer is either yes or no, but that's not the answer. I want you to write this down. It's either yes or starting today, yes. There's no room for no in this question. Amen? This last week, I went to see my dad, and many of you know he's been battling cancer for about 5 years, and recently the doctors told him that he only had a few months left to live, and they basically said, there's nothing else we can really do for you. So this week, Thanksgiving, I went up to see my dad for a little bit, and he came out of the bedroom. We had some stuff planned, and he sat in his chair, and I watched. It took like 30 minutes to just get his shoes on. And I watched as my mother, you know, she's almost 90, and my dad's had all kinds of problems, and his nerve damage in his feet that goes back to a motorcycle accident he had 50 years ago. His feet were all swollen. The toenails didn't look clipped. They collapsed like this. He had to get some under padding and of some sort, and he cut and he put them on the bottom of his foot, and he had mom. I watched. My mom went over. There was some tape and taped around his feet, these pads. And he was kind of yelling at her, you're taping too tight, and don't tape my little toe. And she's over there wrapping his tape around his foot. And finally, she helped put a sock on his foot, and then put a brace inside a shoe, and then put the shoe on his foot. It took 30 minutes to get his shoes on. But I looked at those feet, and at first I was like taken back by how poor everything looked at that moment. But then it went through my mind that this was the man who taught me how to preach. This is the man who preached, who's been preaching for 60 plus years. This is a man who in his heyday, he was the best preacher on this planet in his heyday, and who's been to this church many times and preached for us, and you've been blessed. And he has supported missions and missionaries just like he's taught me his son to do. And then I thought, you know what, those are the most beautiful feet on this planet, because he has taken every moment of every waking day simply to point people to Jesus Christ. And we need to have feet like that, amen? Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, thank you for this sermon. I know it's different. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend. I know that we're watching online and all four campuses this weekend via video. But I ask, God, that you would stir our hearts. You would help us to see the connection. I think on Friday I read that 170 million people were shopping. 170 million people in this country were shopping, spending money on things that will not ever fully satisfy or bring peace or joy or happiness. But this month here at Shepherd Church, the harvest is plentiful. God, I want you to speak into our hearts and help us to sow into your kingdom, and to realize there is a direct connection between
what we give and how we serve, our time, our talent, and our treasure, and how people like him, Lida, that woman who sold a chicken so she could have a radio, just so she could hear a broadcast that we're helping support, so that she might receive the bread of life. And God, that is what we should all be involved in. That is what should speak to all of our hearts. And God, I pray on every campus, you would just burden our heart. Just give us a burden to see people as you see them, as people who are lost and as people who need to hear the good news. But how can they hear unless someone preaches? And how can they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.